الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain inputs and certain outputs for a human being. What we mean by inputs are all the circumstances that surround us in this dunya. So, for example, we live our individual lives and then within the community as well, and all these different tests come upon us. Those are the inputs that go into a human being. So what happens around them, what happens to them directly, what happens to their families, all these things are descended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as inputs into the human being. And then subsequently, there are outputs from the human being as well, meaning the response of the human being to those particular inputs. So let's put human beings aside for a second. Just take any machine, for example, an equalizer. So this microphone here is connected to an equalizer. So there's an input, and the input varies, my voice. Sometimes it goes high, sometimes it goes low. Sometimes it varies in its treble and its bass, etc. And then it goes through the amplifier, and the amplifier outputs that voice in a certain way. So in the same way, for the human being, there are inputs and there are outputs. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave us means of controlling both the input and the output. The input is essentially in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands, because the input refers to all the things that we undergo, all the tests, the trials, the tribulations, etc. So we don't really have control over that, except that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our inputs easy. We can ask Allah to take away the hardships that might come into our life. We can ask Allah, we can protect ourselves from certain situations so that we don't test the output of our body, etc. But the outputs is something that we are required to focus upon. And actually, the outputs, if you want to put it in plain and simple terms, are called emotions. So Allah has these inputs, right? Or at least we experience these inputs of different things that happen to either us, our families, our communities, our societies. Those enter into us, and then we have a certain output based on our emotions, how we respond to certain events. And if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from one really unique aspect, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching the Sahaba how to output and when to output themselves in certain ways. Meaning how they should release their emotions and how, when they should release their emotions, how much of an emotion they should express. And this was all taught through his example. Mathalan, for example. You see in the ahadith, let's take one emotion, anger. So you see in the ahadith that there are times when the Prophet ﷺ, when sahaba around the Prophet ﷺ would become angry about something, and the Prophet ﷺ would be completely calm about it. For example, on one occasion, one of the people surrounding the Prophet ﷺ came to the Prophet ﷺ and demanded repayment of a loan. He grabbed the Prophet ﷺ by something that was worn around the neck of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, it made a mark on the neck of the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba became extremely angry and approached that person with anger, and the Prophet ﷺ said, no, he is a right, and he calmed the Sahaba down. So in that situation, the input was the fact that this person disturbed the Prophet ﷺ. And the output of the Sahaba was anger. But the Prophet ﷺ then tweaked it a bit, he turned down the equalizer, and he said, no, this is how the response should be. And so he fixed that, and he just tuned them to how their output should be. In the same way, on some occasions the Sahaba took things lightly. They would take things lightly, and the Prophet ﷺ would become angry, and his face would become red, and he would use that anger to show them that, look, on this particular occasion, you need to raise the bar of anger a bit, and you need to become angry, because this is a matter of the Sharia, and when it's a matter of the Sharia, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has an anger, and people should begin to appreciate that. So this actually, if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ from this perspective, you begin to see that all he was doing throughout his life was that Allah would send these balayat, or these tests upon the Sahaba. Different scenarios, different circumstances, and then the Prophet would simply adjust the Sahaba's response. No, you need to respond more. No, you need to respond less. No, you should have responded in this way. Or sometimes he would remain quiet because the response was appropriate. So the inputs were from Allah, and we get to read them over 23 years. All the circumstances that the Sahaba had, that's what the Quran actually preserves. The beauty of the Quran and the way that the Quran was revealed is that not only are the outputs preserved, but the inputs are preserved. Meaning, at this occasion, this input occurred. Subsequently, the Sahaba responded in this way, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either backs it with an ayah, or asks the Sahaba to respond in a different way with an ayah, or the Prophet ﷺ tells them to respond in a different way with the hadith. So actually, what the Prophet ﷺ was doing was fine-tuning this machine called a human being. And he was fine-tuning the emotions of this machine called the human being. Now, that's essentially what the science of tasawwuf deals with. What the science of tasawwuf deals with is that a person goes in front of a teacher, and that teacher has learned from his teacher, how do you fine-tune a person to make them into a human being? That's actually the beauty of this science. Now, it's so easy. If you want to go to medical school, it's easy to become a doctor. You can do it in 4 years. It's easy to become a dentist. It's easy to become a PhD. It may take 7 or 8 years. The hard thing in life is to become a human being. We're all born with the ability to be humans, but most of us act like animals. Most of us, if you get down in your life and you sit down and reflect upon your life, we act like animals. Something is input, and we respond the same way an animal would respond. Something happens bad, we respond with anger, exactly like an animal would. We see food, we want to eat it, regardless of whether the Sharia accepts it or not. We see something walking by, due to the desire within us, we look at that person, when we know we shouldn't look. These are responses of animals. And what the Sharia does, and what the Sunnah does, and what your teachers do, is that they then teach you to fine-tune these various outputs, or these various emotions, in order that you become, or that we all become, human beings. And that's the challenge of life. Allah gave 60 years, 70 years, 80 years for a human being to become a human being. So imagine how difficult this is. In fact, this is the most difficult thing that a person can do, is to truly become a human being. Now, among the emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created are two. One is called desire, and the other is called anger. And they're opposites in a way. For example, desire is defined as that emotion or that jazba or that inner drive that causes you to attain something. And anger is defined as that jazba or that inner drive that causes you to push something away. So they're actually on opposite extremes. So, for example, your desire or your drive for desire can lead you to good or it can lead you to bad. And it's your job within the Sharia to use it to lead you to good. If somebody has desire, they will never be able to remove that desire, with rare exception. So all of us have this desire which is innate within us. Our job is not to crush our desire. At times it might be. But the real final goal is that we take this desire away from things of the dunya and we turn them towards things in the akhirah. Or, put another way, we take them away from the haram and we put them towards the halal. Believe it or not, the people who have a desire to look at things that they shouldn't look, or eat things they shouldn't eat, or do things they shouldn't do, if you put them in the right environment, that same desire can be turned, and it turns into coming into the masjid, reading the Quran, studying the deen. That's what the Prophet ﷺ did. The same people that were so extreme in their violence, etc., he took those same people and he didn't change them. He didn't remove those characteristics, he simply turned those characteristics towards the deen, and that's what made them so powerful in their subsequent establishment of the deen. Same, you look at the anger of Umar radiallahu anhu, right? The jazbah of Umar radiallahu anhu. When he was against Islam, he was coming to the Prophet ﷺ with a sword ready to separate the Prophet's head from his shoulders. And when he came into Islam, that same anger was then turned towards separating other people's heads from their shoulders for the sake of Islam. So nothing was removed, it was simply turned in another way. Because he came in the presence of somebody who knew how to fine-tune a human being. And of course that was the greatest of tuners, the Prophet ﷺ. In the same way, that's desire. Then on the opposite extreme, there's anger. And the Prophet ﷺ also taught us when to become angry and when not to become angry. So you look in hadith and you see that Anas radiallahu anhu, the servant of the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years, he says that I served the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years and he never told me, why didn't you do such and such in such and such a way? Meaning in the mundane things of life, the Prophet ﷺ would not express anger. He would not, if somebody did something a way that the Prophet ﷺ did not like it, or in a manner in which the Prophet ﷺ did not like, the Prophet ﷺ would not express anger at that, he would let it go because it was a small thing. But then you look further in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you look at the examples where people would break the sharia, the Prophet ﷺ would come and his face would become red with anger, such that the Sahaba would become afraid that lest some punishment fall on them at that moment. They would be so afraid. So the Prophet ﷺ teaches us through these examples, and especially through anger, that anger is not a bad thing, and our emotions are not bad things, our desires are not bad things, but simply, it's the way that you apply those emotions that counts. So let's focus on anger for a minute, because anger is a very, very common thing that exists within us, and sometimes we use it too far, and sometimes we don't use it at all. So in some cases, people, and the Sharia has actually established a balance in anger. Now some people, they let everything go. People can beat them over the head, they're ready to turn the other cheek. People can come, can ruin their family, rape their women, destroy their wealth, and they just say, it's okay, they turn the other cheek. And they quote Christian teachings in order to prove that concept. That's not the way a Muslim is. There is a certain anger which a Muslim expresses, not because it's inside them to react, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to become angry at those particular moments. One thing is to become angry as a reaction. Another thing is to act and become angry because Allah told you to become angry at that particular instant. So that's one extreme. And then you have other people. When they get angry, bam! They unleash on everyone. Not people, not their friends. They go to the weak people within their community. So they'll unleash on their wife. Because there they can take control with their anger. Where they use their anger as a means to control others. They can scream at people. They won't scream at you or me in the masjid. They'll go and they'll scream at their kids. And they'll beat their kids because that's where they can become jabbar. That's where they can unleash their anger and control another human being. Or they'll go and yell at a woman within their family. Or they'll go and yell at their wives. For no reason. Some small thing upset them, as if they're some god, as if they're Allah, that they have the right to go and become angry and yell at, for example, their mother, or their wife, or their children. And that has nothing to do with the Sharia. They know that it's a response, and they use that response, or they use that emotion in order to control other people. And that's another extreme, which is not permitted within the Sharia as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, and through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we balance our anger. There are times when we should become angry, and there are times when we should not become angry. And that's where the i'tidal, the balance of emotion, lies. And this is not only the case for anger, but it's the case for every single emotion. So when you look through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should begin to look for this balance of emotion, because that's what you want to be able to do. And you should look at the inputs that come into your life and then subsequently analyze the outputs to see where you need fine-tuning. This is what it's about. This is what becoming a human being is about. Fine-tuning your emotions. Fine-tuning you as an individual. So you should look. Now sometimes people become so angry they lose control. They're screaming, they're yelling. So fine, at that moment it's difficult. But then later on you should sit down and you should reflect on your anger. Even anger, you should say, did I apply my anger in the way that it was meant to be applied? I know where the Prophet ﷺ would apply anger. I know the sunnah of anger. Did I overstep that boundary or was I less than that boundary? And so in each circumstance that exists, it's our responsibility after an event to look at our response and then gauge that against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. There is even a sunnah of becoming angry, believe it or not. As strange as it might sound, anger is a sunnah when it's put in the right way, in the right place. Same way with desire. Desire is a necessity that exists within us. But sometimes we apply it to the wrong thing, and sometimes we apply it to the right thing. And there are so many other emotions. If we sat and talked about emotions, we could do it for the next 3 years. There are so many characteristics within us that we need to balance. But what I want to highlight to you is that these are the outputs of a human being, and they are signs of how your internal machinery is working. This is how Allah tests you. He puts you in circumstances. If you have a problem with anger, He puts you in a circumstance where somebody is going to make you angry to see, have you balanced that anger, or are you still, you know, bursting over and bubbling forth with that emotion. And for another person, that person who may not express enough anger, Allah will test them in a circumstance where they should be angry, so that that person can then say, should I not have become a little more angry, in order to protect a person, in order to preserve the Sharia. And so this is our job, is to understand that there are inputs and there are outputs. At the moment it's difficult when there's an input. At the exact moment that it's occurring, we may not realize. But this is what we mean by muraqabah. Now, we've talked so much about muraqabah, so much about reflecting. What we mean, or one type of muraqabah, is that you sit down and you reflect upon your inputs and your outputs. That's a very, very important thing, because that is part of you becoming a human being. Now, the Prophet ﷺ told us that his character is a huge part of the deen, that your mannerisms are a huge part of the deen. So we should be very, very careful to analyze our manners, to reflect upon our manners, and then to study the mannerisms of the Prophet ﷺ, so we can learn how the best of servants and the best of creation responded when particular circumstances were placed around him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to identify our emotional disturbances and to bring them into i'tidal with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.